Work, 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 and work. You don't need to read hundreds of research to know that a high percentage of an average person's life is dedicated to work. Right around a third if you ask Google. Just look around and you'll see people rushing towards their workplaces every single day. Which brings us to one important point. If we're spending a lot of time at work, why not work towards finding a job that can work for us? Does that make sense? No? Well, ask yourself this. Where do you see yourself 5 years from now? If you're in a job that can't give you stability, then why stay? You don't need a new calendar year to change directions. You just need to make that one life-changing decision. Hello, listeners. Welcome to the second episode of Connections, a podcast that will connect you to real people and real opportunities. Our topic for today is very timely and relevant, as Ian and Love are going to talk about how to find a job in the UK. Have you been trying to apply to different jobs, but you still can't find a UK employer willing to invest in you? Have you been scammed by agencies? What are some of the biggest mistakes that block you from new opportunities? And finally, how do you turn the table around and be 10 steps closer to your goals? Tune in, people, and let the magic begin.
Chef, teacher, nurse, life coach.
My name is Crow TV Fems.
Defender.
I have a land to defend.
Superhero. Different roles, one name. Mom. Now, it's time to find her own superhero. Ian's Dom Care. Give her the care she deserves, when she needs it, where she needs it.
Connection Podcast.
Ian's Magic.
I did a search on Google by typing in how to come and work in the UK, and it gave me good results. It gave me four adverts on page one, and the first one at the top was a job board. Now I click into it and then started asking me to search for vacancies, job vacancies in the UK, and submit applications. Now, the thing is, I've done that in the past. I've done it many times. I've submitted job applications to different job boards in the UK hundreds of times. And guess what? Did I get any response? No. And so Google did not help. It wasn't really helpful. I tried clicking into the second search result, another advert. And this time it prompted me to fill in several questions, which I did. The first question goes like, why do you want to come to the UK? I said, I want to work, and then click next. You know, Love, when you click next, it takes you to the next page.
Yeah.
What do you expect when it's the next? It means
you're getting there. So it's like from one step to the
to another.
Next step. Yeah.
So I was hoping it's not going to be too many next. I went to the second next, and it asked me the question, when are you thinking of applying? And I said, now. Okay. Oh, actually, the third one, it asked me the question, have you spoken to any immigration lawyer in the past? And the answer is no. Now, the next page said, we are able to help you, but for me to connect you to a lawyer, you had to pay £5.
Lord.
Now, I wanted to pay. I was so tempted to pay because I want to find out, you know, if I'm going to get the information that I need. What was the question, Love? What did I ask? What did I want to find out?
How can I get a job in the UK? How can I get to the UK?
Yeah, how do I come to the UK and work in the UK? Yeah. But you know, when I was about to pay, I put in my card details. I was about to pay. There was a small line. It says, if you are not happy, we will refund you the money within 90 days. Oh boy, that put me off. You know why? When you see a disclaimer like that, trust me, always it does not work. Not helpful.
At all.
Yeah? Now, imagine if I am from say, India, in a small village. And I've saved up, and I'm only making £100 a month. Yeah? Or maybe I just lost my job because of the pandemic. £5 is a lot of money. And there's no guarantee that I will get the information that I need. Again, not very helpful. Now, so I thought, do I stop? I carried on clicking into the third advert. It's another website. Now, this time, it was more informative. And I thought,
okay.
You know that feeling when you thought you found something nice, right? I felt that. So I started reading page one and reading page two. Love, guess how many pages I had to read?
5?
No, 13.
No way!
13 pages. Now, it was very, very informative. They provided me the website. They provided me a step-by-step guide on how to come and work in the UK.
Okay.
In fact, when I finished the last page, it went like this. If you want further information, they provided me a link. And I followed the link. You know where it took me?
Where did it take
to Nigeria.
Oh my God.
No. The link, it took me to the Home Office website listing all the immigration rules. And I thought, oh my gosh. Right? In the end, I got more confused rather than enlightened.
After reading 13 pages.
Now, so I didn't bother going to the other adverts in the next pages, and I thought, I want to give up. At this point, I didn't have any interest because I thought that either I will find the same not helpful information or they will just say the same thing. But in the end, I don't have any confidence that Google, right, Google will be able to answer my questions or help me achieve my migration goals if I carried on. Have you tried Bing? Do you think, love, you ask Bing, you know, another search engine, or Alexa, do you think they'll be able to give me the answers I'm looking for?
I doubt that, because it will pretty much be the same thing, just different websites copying up, and they will take you to about 20 pages this time around.
So even if it's a different search engine, they will give you the same results?
They will definitely give you the same results.
What's that called? Algorithm? I'm not.
Yeah, it's just more or less like it's like the same thing. It's not the same owner, but it's the same thing. So you just, you know, they just want people to keep searching. Yeah. The algorithm goes up, but, you know, they don't really give you that information.
Now, I'm sure if you are following and listening and have been following. No. I'm sure if you have been following and listening, by the way, this is our second episode.
Sure is.
Because I'm sure you follow us on Facebook and you follow us on Instagram. If you have been following us, right, this is probably a very, very common experience, right, love?
Yeah,
it is. In today's episode, I will tell you what the most common approach that people who want to move to the UK and other countries are using and why using them does not really work. And the way I plan to do that is first to list the two most common approaches applicants are doing when applying from outside the UK. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you the problem with each approach. Are you ready, love?
I'm ready, so ready.
What do you think our listeners, you think they are ready?
They are so ready, because everyone is like seated now. If Google can help me, Bing can help me, what will help me?
Right, okay. Let's see. Now, the first approach, and this is the most common approach, yeah? I will go to a recruitment agency, right? Recruitment agencies, hooray!
Yeah.
Hooray! Yeah. I don't have any problem with them. They are not really bad guys. They are not really bad guys. They are doing a wonderful job. Yeah? Whether the recruitment agency is overseas or whether the recruitment agency is in the UK, they do wonderful jobs. They're able to help migrants find sponsorship or jobs in the UK, and they will arrange everything. But the problem is they are not right to everybody. Yeah? Now, let me explain to you their approach. First, recruitment, not the scrupulous ones, yeah, not the bad ones, you know. The proper recruitment agencies, number one, they are paid by the employer to find the most suitable applicant. Yeah?
Definitely, yeah.
Now, you know where I'm going with this. Number two, they have a very large database of applicants.
Yeah, because everyone wants to come to the
UK. Uh-huh. And because this is the most common approach, all applicants, you know, they go in a long line, in long queues. Yeah. They submit their CVs and their resumes to prominent agencies. Okay? So what happens? The agencies, they have a large database. Now, they are contracted with a satisfaction guarantee. Do you know what that means? It means that if they don't deliver the quality of candidates that they are paid to do, they will have to pay the employers back. Yeah? Now, also, recruitment agencies, they are not careers consultant, you know, who will guide you and help you how to become a strong candidate. Yeah. Yeah? Now, what's that mean to our listeners then? Or what's that mean to someone who is outside the UK and approaching an agency? Because they are paid to find the most suitable applicant. Yeah. If you are not the strongest applicant, love, you will never be shortlisted by agencies,
that's
right?
The problem, yeah. And you have paid as well, so it's like...
Yeah, some of them charge money, some of them don't. But if you are not the strongest applicant, your prospect of being invited to attend an interview is very, very low. Now, I said earlier that they have a very large database of applicants. For example, in the UK, if you are listening and you want to come to the UK, this is, you stay. If you are thinking of going to Canada, come back later on, okay? Because this episode is about how to come and work in the UK. Now, they have a very large database, and therefore, if you are not the strongest candidate, you are in the last or the list a priority. And also because they are paid and they are contracted with a satisfaction guarantee. In other words, if you leave or your employment is terminated, they will have to pay the employer back some amount of money, and therefore they don't want to do that.
They don't want to go through the long journey.
No, no.
They don't have the time.
And also, they don't come back to you and say, oh, these are the reasons why we have not shortlisted you.
Yeah.
You just end up hearing back nothing or for nothing.
You keep waiting.
You keep waiting. You call them. You know what happens when you call them. Oh, we are in the process of waiting. Oh, can you provide me more documents? But if you ask, can you actually tell me if my application is being looked at by an employer? They won't tell you that. Yeah?
So you're in our database just for me.
Yeah. So, and because they are not consultants, they are not paid to help you and advise you to meet the requirements. They will just say to you, come back again. So what do you think, love, right? Candidates who are not getting shortlisted by agencies, what do you think they do? Any guess?
I think the thing is, you know, it's more or less like you have to keep trying. And the problem is they end up trying loads and loads of agencies, because if one agency disappoints you, you're hoping that the next one wouldn't.
So exactly. So what overseas applicants do, right? They put in an application to one agency.
Yeah.
They waited, no success. You know what they're going to do?
What?
They're going to find another agency, hoping that their prospect this time of success is going to be any better.
Yeah.
But the problem with that approach is that they will submit the same CV, the same lack of experience. And because of that, right, the results are the same. They are not getting any job interview. And you know what they think? Oh my gosh, I don't like this agency. This agency is bad. But really, they are forgetting their application is bad.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a lack of experience or
but not a good CV.
Yeah. And many other reasons. Nobody's telling them that. Now, if that's your case, this is about time that you start asking your questions other than the agency problem that you think is the actual problem. What do you think? What do I think is, the reason why I'm not getting accepted for interviews? And one of the reasons could be that you have not properly written CVs, or you lack experience, or you lack qualifications, or your CV does not show skills. Because a lot of these things, the employers, they look at them. Right?
Yeah.
Now, another mistake that they do if they are not successful in applying through another agency and another agency and another agency, they pay monies.
Yeah.
You know, they're thinking that if they pay monies, right, they'll be able to get ahead.
Yeah.
But actually what happens, more often than not, They just take your money and they disappear. Now, there is another approach that these guys are doing. They choose to come to the UK, pay a lot of money to universities, and they study, thinking that UK qualifications will increase their chance of getting a job sponsorship. It's a too expensive approach, with very little guarantee of switching to a work visa on completion of studies in the UK. Now, if you are in the UK on a student visa, don't get me wrong, right? In fact, get me right, because I'll be able to help you. Now, if you're thinking of coming to the UK to study, thinking you will increase your chance of getting a sponsorship, that is not bad. But the thing is, if you don't do it right, not only you will end up paying a lot of money, but there's no guarantee that you'll be able to find a job that will allow you to stay and work in the UK. Okay? Yeah. Recruitment agencies. It doesn't make any difference if you are dealing with a recruitment agency in your country or in the UK. It's the same thing. They are paid to find the most suitable candidates, and if you are not the strongest, it's too bad.
That's unfortunate for you.
Very unfortunate. Do you agree with me, love?
I do agree with you.
Do you know people like that? They use recruitment agencies.
Yeah, I know a lot of people like that, because they just keep hoping, oh, you know what, you know, this agency can help me. And then you try this and you try that. And then along the line, you just ended up wasting so much money without actually gaining, you know, the aim is to actually get your British citizenship. And then you're not even working towards that. So it's just, it's really sad.
Right. Recruitment agency. Now, that's the most common approach, traditional approach in thinking of moving to another country like UK, Canada, or USA, right? The second most common used approach is direct hire. What's that mean? So you, an applicant, especially the millennials. Are you a millennial or a boom, 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 or baby boom, boom? Is that baby boomer?
No, I'm definitely not a baby boomer. Yeah.
Are you a millennial, love?
Yeah.
All right. If you are a millennial, you're very savvy on the internet, you know?
Yeah.
The world becomes smaller because of the internet, not the other way around, right?
Yeah, well, true, because everything is together. So
did you know that you can actually, again, go back to Google, yeah? If you put in a postcode on Google directions or maps, you can actually search an employer on Google. Yeah, if you have the address.
Yeah. Somehow.
Yeah, some people, some millennials, job applicants who are educated and very, very well-versed with the internet, they can actually search online and find employers. And then what they do, they go directly and approach the employer and say, "Oi, I saw your vacancies, right?
Yeah.
I am interested. Here's my CV." Yeah. By the way, when you do that, just to give a term for this kind of application, this is called speculative application. How do you spell speculative, love?
S-B-E.
Again. Speculative application. Spell it.
Speculative. S-P-E-C. U-L-A-T-I-V-E.
Right. That's called speculative application, where you put in your CV and everything. Now, some applicants become successful, especially if they're applying for jobs that is on a shortage occupation list. I'm talking about UK list now, right? For example, if I am a registered nurse and I got the direct hire route and I submitted my CV and I'm experienced applying for a job on a shortage occupation list, my chance is good, you know? That approach is called direct hire, you know? You approach the employer and then you put in your application. Now, some people, they have friends in the UK or in America or in Canada and they ask their friends or family, "Oh, you probably know employers, or you probably have friends and maybe they have vacancies." That will work. That works sometimes, but it doesn't all the time, right? Maybe you can speak to them and maybe I can put in my application. Maybe you can help me, right? That's called direct hire. Now, the problem with that approach is that majority of employers, they do not entertain direct hires because there is a risk of them hiring a dodgy applicant.
It would come back to haunt them.
Yeah. Now, most in the UK, say 60% of businesses who are sponsoring overseas workers on work visa are regulated. For example, if my business is in healthcare, I run a nursing home or a home care business or a hospital or a dental practice, before I can run the service, I need to be granted a license. Yeah. Now, if I am a law practice, I am regulated. So which means to say that I need to find applicants who are registered in their countries of origin as well. I can't simply find, sponsor anybody or offer a job, a nursing job to anybody who's not registered. Now, there are some countries in their experience that they have dodgy qualifications, you know, certificates that have been fabricated and fake and all that, yeah? And if that happens, they are risking losing their regulatory license, not on their own fault, but because they have not followed a robust recruitment process. So because of that, majority of employers, they do not entertain direct hires because of that risk, okay? Now also, they don't know, 9 out of 10, if I'm being honest, in my experience, as that 9 out of 10 employers do not have the expertise involved in the process of international recruitment, especially around visa applications, visa requirements, and everything. Not the appetite, but there's not a lot of direct employers really considering direct applications. Now, and therefore, what happens is a lot of applicants who wish and who are planning to move to a new country, for example, either they go via recruitment agency or direct hire, yeah, right? It's not easy. They always find themselves in a difficult situation or not getting any results because simply they are not the strongest candidate. Now, whether you apply directly or through a recruitment agency, in all these cases, the answer is not to keep changing recruitment agencies or carrying on applying directly. Because if you continue to be the same applicant and you continue to be not the strongest applicant, no matter how many applications you put in, how many agencies you approach, there is no way you will get a different result. What do you think, love? Yeah.
Yeah, it would still be the same thing.
Yeah, it would be a no after another until you become so frustrated and then you jumped out of the building, which is 2 feet high. But unfortunately, you got run over by a motorcycle and you die in the end of it. Now, listen, no matter how hard and how much planting you make every day, everywhere, you will not have a basket of mangoes if you are planting the same seeds of sweet potatoes. Don't you agree? What do I mean by that? I'm not gonna harvest sweet potato if I'm planting seeds of mangoes or vice versa, whatever.
Yeah.
Now, so you ask, is there an alternative to the traditional approaches that I am aware of, that I know, Ian? And the answer to that is a big yes.
Yes.
There is. There is indeed one, and the only one available in the market at this very moment is one that I'm about to tell you, right? Now, do you want to know about that? If you do, you need to become a patron. How do you become a patron, a fan? I will tell you all about that if you become a patron of Connections.
Okay, Ian, so how can I become a patron of Connections or a supporter or a fan?
It's really simple. That is by supporting the broadcast and the podcast by making a monthly subscription of £5.99. And by doing that, you will get the following benefits. Number one, you will be the first to get access to all my episodes.
Wow.
Yeah. You will get all the full episodes, parts 1 and 2, of all the weekly episodes coming out, as opposed to getting only 2 episodes a month.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. Like, for example, today's part 1.
Yeah.
Right? If you want to know the alternative, which is part 2, you become a patron.
Oh, my
okay?
God.
Now, the other benefit is that you can join my monthly webinar for half the price, whatever that is, I don't know now. Oh. For whatever the price, you can join my monthly webinar for half the price, yeah? Now, another benefit of becoming a patron is you can actually ask direct questions by email to me, and I have a legal team. Now, This is not the kind of question that you pay £5 again and again and again and you get. I don't offer refunds, by the way, love, because I can guarantee you people who offer refunds usually don't work.
Yeah.
Mine works.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, you can ask me direct questions by email and you can expect a response within 48 to 72 hours. Amazing. What do you think of the benefits of becoming a patron, love?
I mean, I'll prefer this to 13 pages of not getting to the right place.
Yeah, very true.
So I'll definitely go for this one because it's actually amazing that I can, you know, get to send a direct email to you and then you reply and then we communicate. So it's easier for me that way than
awesome.
Going on Google checking things.
Awesome. So to my dear listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And now that you know why these traditional application approaches do not work, one piece of advice from Ian, stop doing them. But if you do, you will just waste your time. In my next episode, I'm going to talk about why studying in the UK is also a bad alternative. And what do you need to do if you are already studying in the UK? Don't miss it. All my best. Bye! Connection Podcast.
Ian's Magic.
Ian's Dumb Care. Care where you need it and when you need it. Get the care your loved ones need now, not tomorrow and never later. What matters most is care that you can access for your loved ones. Contact us now on 020-391-20686.
You know what they say? Wise people learn from their mistakes. But those who get ahead are the ones who learn from other people's mistakes. You already heard 13 pages worth of important insights here at Connections. So thank you, Ian and Love, for that. Now it's just a matter of dodging those mistakes and creating a strategy that works for you. If you need help, guidance, and direction in coming to the UK, don't wait. Click on the subscribe button now and become a patron to get access to part 2 of this episode. Learn how you can migrate to the UK. Connect with us. Talk to you next time.